Sometimes it comes out right and sometimes it doesn't.
Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm Jay Hutchins, your host, and we have our guest Mary here today, who's pretty perfect at being a little bit imperfect. So I want you all to grab a drink and join the conversation with us. Hi, Mary. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks, Jay, for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. You know, at Cheers to This, we've got to start with a very important question always. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a High Noon. Black cherry is my go-to flavor.
Nice. A black cherry High Noon. I'm just rocking a little Prosecco with a little bit of cranberry. Just
it looks
a little bit.
Very pretty.
That's what I'm going for, so I appreciate it.
Is that your go-to drink?
It is not a go-to drink, but it felt like it fit the mood today.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're just vibing with it just a little bit.
This is my go-to drink when I'm at home.
Oh, okay. So you're with a classic, an old standard for you. Mm-hmm. I love it. I respect it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Mary, do you have anything you would like to cheers to today?
I would like to cheers to being able to make a podcast without kids running around because they're at grandma's house.
Cheers to that kind of peace. Indeed.
Peace.
I love it.
How about you? What would you like to cheers to today?
You know, I think I'm going to save that for later because I have an idea.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
Shan, I like it.
So I want to talk about your online persona for a second, if I may. Okay. So online, you have described yourself as a type B personality. What does that actually mean to you?
So a type B personality, typically, well, to me at least, it means somebody who is unorganized, somebody who doesn't plan things out, like not a list maker. I'm thinking of like the opposite of type A, right? Like type A is very structured, kind of like they know what's going to happen next. Like everything just kind of is in line for them. I'm the opposite. I'm not. And that's not just an online personality. That is my personality where I just am like, I want to be type A. I want to be like organized and put together, but I'm just not. I'm chaotic and I make a mess everywhere I go.
But it's a beautiful mess, it seems like. I mean, was there a moment or an event that led to this realization that, you know what, I'm not type A? Or was it more of like an organic way that you just kind of always been and you just knew it like instinctually?
I've certainly always been this way, but there was a defining moment when I was actually diagnosed with ADHD and I realized the characteristics of people, of some people with ADHD. The type of ADHD that I have is very much like that is the personality, like being a procrastinator, being messy, like I'm a pile maker. I lose everything all the time. Like I'm always looking for my stuff. And I thought that that had to do with me being lazy, just disorganized. Like I was, you know, a lot of like self-blame comes with that too. Mm-hmm. And when I actually got that diagnosis and then started really digging into that, it was like, oh, one of those, it's not my fault that I'm this way. Like, cause I have tried so hard to be, to make the lists, to do the things, to organize everything, to write labels. Like I'm going to put everything back where it belongs. And it's just, you know, it just
it's doesn't. Just how the way that the cookie crumbles, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's messy.
I would have to say that you're kind of speaking my language as a fellow person with an ADHD diagnosis, you know, making the piles a little bit of a mess, definitely the procrastination. So I totally get that. My diagnosis is relatively recent. So what advice would you have for someone that suddenly stumbles onto the fact that, oh, there's meaning to the madness all of a sudden?
My diagnosis is relatively recent, too. I was diagnosed just 3 years ago at 40, which felt like a kind of like a tough pill to swallow. In a way, it was a relief of, okay, it's not my fault that I'm this way. But then I also felt I had a lot of like grief over my life almost. Like I could have been so much better in college. I could have been a better teacher if I would have been, you know, maybe, and then therapy, you know, you know, my therapist and I talked through that a lot. And she said, that's a normal feeling when people get a diagnosis of anything, but also that, my life is what it is because I had to overcome those challenges. So I would say embrace your quirkiness, which you do an excellent job of. Embrace the chaos, you know, embrace like what your characteristics are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are things, though, that once you realize it, like I know that I'm a procrastinator, but I'm also like an avoider. So, you know, being very thoughtful about what I'm going to do, like mm-hmm. timelines are very helpful to me now. That's something that has, there are lots of little things that I've learned through different TikToks and stuff and actually reading this one book that really helped me. But like when you need to like clean for 15 minutes, like you come into the house and like leave your shoes on. Like, don't take off your shoes. That's just triggers something to the brain. Or if you set the microwave for 3 minutes, like give yourself a game of like, how much can I do in 3 minutes?
Fun. Get that little dopamine hit.
Exactly. Because that's what ADHD seekers are always looking for.
So I will tell that to my microwave and the stack of dishes. So that's good.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, once you mm-hmm. start doing that, you realize how much you can get done in 10 minutes. You know, it's actually eye-opening of like, wow, I waited to do those dishes for 3 days and they took 10 minutes.
Yeah, the avoidance, there's kind of this, I don't know if you have to be ADHD to get this, but there's this slight joy and relief with the avoidance. But then there's also this slight panic that comes with the avoidance as well, right? And so it's kind of, it's a weird space to be in. I don't know if anyone else experiences it that way, but that's how I experience the avoidance.
I think a lot of people do. And it's because it's also like a guilt, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's almost a dopamine of like, how long can I wait to do this before I get in trouble or before I get like, before it gets to the point where I have to do it. And then it's a guilt in my feeling, at least it's a guilt of like, why did I wait 2 days to do that? And it really only took 10 minutes. Like what holds me back from doing that?
No, I totally get that. Yeah. So I want to circle back to this type B thing.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's got to be kind of freeing. Now, what has been the most freeing thing about just embracing it?
I would say, so type B, I'm not like, I don't, like, I things like that, like, just don't stress me out. Mm. I'm very much like, it'll be fine. Like, everything will be fine. Whereas I know type A people that I know, like, they can't do that. They can't, like, just be like, it'll be fine. I'm like, it doesn't matter if, you know, like, it's going to be fine. It'll be fine.
Listen, Mary, as a type A person, let me tell you that the world will end from any action or inaction. Just to be clear, the world will end.
It will. So there's nothing you can do about that. So it will be fine. It's
oh
going,
my gosh.
Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Oh, how
there's
dare
so
you.
Little that we can actually control.
That's brilliant. Oh my gosh, that's brilliant.
Therapy. No, but for real, like I think probably a huge part of having kids has mm-hmm. really made me realize that too. You know, I can do everything for them or nothing. Like I can do all the things. And at the end of the day, they are going to do whatever they want to do. I cannot control other people's actions. Even my children, my dog, I can't control what they do as much as I may want to.
Now, that sounds like a very zen mindset to be able to get to that place to realize that. Because I know a lot of people struggle with their interpersonal relationships just from the fact that they can't bridge that gap in their minds between the fact that they want someone to do something, they want them to behave a certain way, and then the other person just doesn't deliver exactly that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people struggle with that. And yeah. It sounds like that struggle is probably completely unnecessary.
I mean, I struggled with it for a long, long time with relationships. When my husband and I first started dating, I was very much I tried to control everything. And he probably would still say I try and control everything. I am. I do try and control as much as I possibly can. But in the back of my mind, I realize I can't. You can only control you.
Mm-hmm.
In any situation, all we can control is how we react, how we act, what we do. And I loved my boyfriend, husband, you know, very much. But I also had to break up with him because I could not control him. And I also could not live with who he was and his life.
So you had to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. And I chose me. And then he chose to change. But not because I controlled him, because we broke up and he realized that, you know, the way he was acting, he wanted to act like, so the opposite for him, like he did not want to be controlled at all. He didn't want to have to like check in or do those things. And so we just viewed things very differently once upon a time ago, you know, and it was a big realization. I remember one time he said that to me, I don't want to have to check in with someone. And I was like, whoa, that's not what this should.
Let's not bridge.
You shouldn't think of checking in with me. Like you should just want to talk to me at the end of the night. We were long distance at the time. And you should want to talk to me at the end of the night or first thing in the morning. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But I want to be with somebody who wants to do that.
Yeah.
So
having expectations line up to your needs, it's important.
Yeah.
And to choose yourself, that's important. Mm-hmm. A lot of people struggle with that, especially a lot of type A people. What advice would you have for them?
It goes probably the simplest piece of advice people give all the time, right? Like choose your hard. Mm-hmm. Like everything is hard. Everything that we do every single day is hard. So which kind of choose your hard? Do you want to be fighting against something all the time? Or because I feel like a lot of, and this is very stereotypical generalizations here, but a lot of people who are type A can often be trying to like always fight the flow. And you can't. And at some point in time, you have to realize like, it's really, really hard to continuously do that. And are you getting the outcome you want? Or are you exhausted and frustrated and you still didn't get what you want?
Yeah, I think life is kind of like a current, a river, right? Where the current is just kind of keep pushing you in one direction. And just fighting that direction with all your might, it's only going to get you so far before you wear yourself out. That's just the reality of the situation.
It's exhausting out here.
But choose your heart.
Yeah.
Everything doesn't have to be exhausting.
Yeah.
So if you could just change one thing about the way the world perceives you and type B people, what would it be?
For me, I would love to not be so messy. Just constant disorganization. Because when you think about choosing your hard, like I spend, for example, we just went out to dinner. I didn't know where my purse was. I didn't know where my keys were. Like I didn't know where anything was. So I'm activating the tile on my phone to find, you know, to hear the beeping to figure out where my purse was. And it was in the car. Well, I haven't even driven in like 2 days. So that means it was in the car from like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it's like that. Sometimes that is so overwhelmingly like chaotic and out of control. I feel like if I could change one thing about my behavior and myself, I would love to be organized and just know where everything is.
It's not a big ask. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's an easy task to complete, but you're not asking for the universe for a lot, it seems like.
Right. I mean, the universe would probably be a lot better off if I were more organized and I knew where my stuff was because, you know, things would flow better.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, like perfection it's a whole thing for a lot of people. So like when it comes to being perfect, especially mothers, they put this pressure on themselves to meet these standards that seem impossible, really. Why? Why do you think that is?
Me personally, I could only speak to, but I think a lot of us want to give our kids like the perfect life. We want our kids to have a great life. We want them to have friends and we want them to be happy and we want them to experience everything and we want them to travel and we want them to never be bullied. Like you want to give your kids the perfect life, right? And like people you love. I think people you love, generally, you want them to have a good life. But when it's your kid, and I think also from the perspective of like, you know how hard life can be and you just want to make things better and easier. But oftentimes that creates an opposite effect of like you do too much for them, or you shelter them, or you bubble them. And I learned when I was an assistant principal that I really learned that it is impossible for mothers particularly, but I mean, I think just people in general, but like you cannot be 100%. You can only be 100% at one thing. So, right. Like I was trying to be the best assistant principal. It was my third or fourth year as an AP. I was still learning a lot. It was my first year as a mom. We'd only been married for like 2 years. So I was still new in like all of these roles.
Yeah.
And learning. And I felt like I was failing at everything. And I think that a lot of people, just period, but parents, mothers especially, put that pressure of themselves of like, you want to have a clean home. You want to make dinner. You want your kids to be, you want to play with your kids, right? Like you want to come home from work and play with your kids. And then there's the guilt of, oh, well, I'm going to work for 12 hours a day and I'm only seeing my kid for two.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's definitely a lot. And that realization that you can only 100% one thing at a time, that's got to be hard to swallow for anybody. So I'm just trying to imagine a world in which everybody says, I'm just going to do my best at when I can. What that would even look like? Like, is that even possible? Or are we going to just have people just striving for these impossible standards for all the time because it's what's expected of them?
I don't know. I think you can only give your best in every situation every day. That's all you can do is give your best. It's all going to be okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. I think that's the reminder that we all have to just keep doing every single day. When that itch to be perfect comes, it's all going to be okay.
Same thing with the phone and the red bubbles, right? I have 35,000 unread emails.
I'm sorry.
Onto a spiral.
I'm sorry. Repeat that number one more time.
I mean, I don't know. It's probably a lot more because somehow my email like automatically organized itself. And so now it's very, 62,000. 300. So
62,000 emails. Cheers.
Cheers.
Woo. I would turn the bubble off. Just me. But that's just me.
And I look at it like, well, I can never catch up to that. So what's the point? But I mean, I'd have to just delete those emails, like the email address. Like you just have to throw the whole phone away. But then you get a new phone and they're still there. They're just on the new phone automatically.
Like, no. True.
Can't win this.
So just one last thing about perfection. Do you still feel the pressure to be perfect at anything, or have you just completely freed yourself from that?
I think I definitely still feel the pressure, and I still have times where I will have like a breakdown of I feel like I'm failing at everything because I don't even strive for perfection. I'll say that. I do not strive for perfection because I really don't subscribe to perfection. Like I don't believe that that's obtainable in like a well-rounded person. Like maybe you could be perfect at like one thing, but what even does that mean? Like how are you even perfect? Who's measuring that?
Who is measuring?
Yourself, right? Like it's a self-measuring for most of the time. Unless it's like, are you winning a gold at the Olympics?
And even then, they took away like perfect 10s in a lot of the things.
Right. So. And even then, it's still a little, it's a little subjective. So, but I do absolutely have times where I feel like very less than inadequate and like I'm failing at things. Like I can never, I don't make perfect dinners every night, like well-balanced, perfect meals. I'm not always in a great mood for my kids. Like, I don't know, like things like that probably bother me the most of like, I'm still really bitchy sometimes. And, tell my kids like, no, I don't want to read you a story tonight because I just don't want to. And then I'm like, oh my God, you're not supposed to say things like that. But there are times where we, I think we really just like beat ourselves up for things that we're just being people. And like, you just gotta, there's no perfection.
I think everybody deserves to live the full human experience. And you can't have that experience trying to be perfect, because being perfect is by definition not human. To be human is to be imperfect. It's to be a bit messy. It's to not get it right every time. But to be human does mean that we try our best when we can, at least. But yeah. I think everybody deserves to give themselves that grace and that space to just be a human.
But do you think that there are people like yourself who don't give that grace to be imperfect?
I believe that it depends on the situation. Because everyone has to come to the realization at some point that you can't be perfect at everything. You have to, right? And my therapist and I are constantly working on grace, and we're constantly working on, you know, how do we find spaces to give permission, you know, for imperfection, for messiness, for just being. How do you find that space? So as a work in progress, mm-hmm. I say perfection is for the birds.
We unsubscribe to perfection.
Absolutely. Unsubscribe. Do not want. Delete me from the mailing list.
Yes.
So when someone no longer pursues perfection, do you think success has the ability to look different?
I think success is a lot like perfection. Like, who's measuring it? Mm-hmm. What does success look like to you, and in what situation? I think it really depends on what situation you're talking about. What does success look like? You know, what does it look like as an employee, as a friend, as a partner, as a mother, father? Like, what does it look like as a child? Like, you know, whenever, or as I often talk about my mother and like how I help take care of her a lot. It's like, what does success look like in all those different situations?
Mm-hmm. It definitely should be situational. And it definitely seems like maybe there's work to be done for a lot of people, because they just use it as a blanket, you know, like, I want to be successful at everything. But that mm-hmm. goes back to like perfection, or even doing your best, right? You can only 100% one thing at a time, mm-hmm. right? Like, can you be a success at absolutely everything? Probably not. But where is the fun in that? Where do you learn and where do you grow if you are successful at everything? Because right. isn't a lot of the growing happening in the failures, in the moments where you have to take that step back and you have to say, you know what, I can do better here, or I can learn from this moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our biggest successes come from failures. Because you learn. Mm-hmm. You learn what not to do, so then you would be more successful the next time. Mm-hmm. You learn what works for you. I mean, it's just constant. Or you learn how it feels like when you have a failure and you don't want to have that feeling again. I think it's just so situational. But I think you're right, where success and perfection almost can be interchanged, those words. Mm-hmm. The way people treat them.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think we've come to the conclusion that success and perfection are for dummies.
Obviously, that is the conclusion.
And we've also come to the conclusion that there's some work to be done, whether you're type A or type B, but just do the best that you can do, right?
Yeah. That's all you can do.
So, Mary, I have one last question for you, if I may.
Okay.
Where the heck can people find you?
Oh, people can find me on social media.
Okay.
On TikTok. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear more about just crazy hot mess, Mary Mac is my TikTok handle, at mary.mac. Or not dot, at mary_mac is awesome. My TikTok handle, where I talk a lot about all things. Unfortunately, I have tried so hard to niche down many, many times, and it's not possible for me. I talk about my GLP-1 story. I talk about life, TikTok shop. Also on Instagram, I'm Mary's Balanced Life.
Amazing. Mary, may I offer one last cheers before we go?
Sure.
I would like to make a cheers to embracing our personalities, type A, type B, but imperfect and perfectly so.
Okay. I will cheers to that.
Cheers. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really, really appreciated the conversation and the joy and the drinks. Just thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun and I appreciate the conversation as well.
And thank you to our listeners for joining in. And this has been Cheers to This.